He's on the line and ready to go. Edwin, welcome into the golf shop.
Yeah, welcome, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic. Hey, happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Doesn't everybody want to run a campaign here today?
Well, all right. You know, we're going to talk a little bit of politics and a lot of sports, maybe even bring up your Georgia Bulldogs. I am curious, though, and bear in mind, this may decide how some people vote next week. What candy, what are you giving out at the Peacock household tonight?
It's Baby Ruth.
Ooh!
All Baby Ruth.
Good. Does that mean you're a little nutty?
No, I just believe in what was my favorite episode in Caddyshack, which was obviously the Bill Murray pool scene. So that's the image that we have. We bought that.
Well, I have to tell you, had you said pennies or floss or apples, this call was going to mysteriously drop.
As would you
in the polls.
Well, I mean, why not just give away gift cards?
That's right.
Well,
we're going to give away sample ballots too. So
exactly.
Already filled out. I hope. I mean, if they do it
absolutely.
In New Orleans, if they're going to do it in Louisiana and Massachusetts, we might as well do it here in Charlotte.
Sure.
So, Edwin, we're going to talk a little bit about golf because we know you're an enthusiast. But you know, as our voters, our Charlotte voters, are getting ready to go out and cast their votes, and some already have. What are the biggest issues facing Charlotte? It's you know, as even with politics aside, what issues should people be looking at? Because sometimes I think the landscapes gets a little bit cloudy.
Well, something Charlotte doesn't like to talk about and certainly is not acknowledging openly right now is that we've got a crime problem.
Mm.
We had 12 murders over Labor Day weekend. 5 were killed, and one was a 7-year-old. We've got a gang problem. And people, again, I think in a lot of parts of Charlotte may not think that's an issue, but it is. And mayors have got to proact, not react there. Just last night I was in South Charlotte, and their issues are around really, I consider to be just sustainable growth, which means congestion and traffic. They're wondering, hey, I'm paying all these taxes. You know, when are we going to get our arms around this? We need a 21st century transit plan. You know, want to stay ahead of that as we're the second fastest growing city. And then, you know, I think the third thing that that you see just in and all around the city is just to see which chapter we're going to go to keep growing our economy in a smart and efficient way. And I keep pointing to the opportunity for Charlotte to become a global hub for trade and commerce through the opportunities we have at our great airport and the new intermodal facility there, which gives us the ability to ship goods and all up and down the eastern seaboard. We've just got an exciting time in Charlotte. It's an awesome time to be a candidate for mayor of the 16th largest city that is growing, and it is growing in a very positive way. But it will require leadership, and we've got other parts of our city that are struggling, and that's one of the things I've talked about a lot. Is just you can't have one part of Charlotte growing at the expense of another. Our neighbors and friends in the Great East Charlotte have really seen a lot of abandonment, especially with Eastland Mall, and they want to see some real changes there. And then also, of course, in some of our historically challenged areas, some parts of the Northeast and West of Charlotte have got some good momentum going that direction, but they need more help.
Yeah, because, I mean, Charlotte is still not divided, but in many ways segmented, and the issues are different depending on where you reside and where you work. And getting your arms around all of that, I mean, how much time have you spent in all these different parts of the county, really the county and the city, to try to figure this thing out? Charlotte people don't, I think some people don't understand how big Charlotte is. Charlotte's huge.
It's 363 square miles. For example, on Thursday morning, I started my day with a men's workout group, F3, that I was pleasure to help start and get up and running, and I led a workout up in Highland Creek. And then I finished my day in the very edge of South Charlotte, almost to the South Carolina border. And so it is an enormous city. I live not far from uptown, right near the center of the city. And it's, you know, it's, again, it's just a fantastic landscape that we have, and it's very diverse. You know, that day also included a stop in West Charlotte, and at one of my favorite spots, probably the best view in Charlotte, is from Johnson C. Smith University on that great campus of that historically black college that has got such great leadership with Dr. Carter there. And folks just don't, many folks don't get a chance to see all the spots that you get to see. That's one of the great things as a candidate, is you get to see it all.
Well, and when you think about, you're talking about interstate commerce and the airport and even international trade. You know, one of the things that Charlotte has going for it, unless you sit in a ton of traffic, is 77 and 85. Rarely in this country do two giant north-south interstates run through the center of a city. And is that part of the interstate, you know, trade thinking?
Yeah, it is. The intermodal yard that we have with rail lines from Norfolk Southern going to the airport give us an incredible opportunity just with that alone. That was a lot of the work of our former airport director, Jerry Orr. It took about 20 years to convince the Department of Transportation to do that. We're the sixth largest airport in the world. And as you mentioned, we're at the intersection of 77 and 85, which are two of our biggest trucking routes. But the other thing you might not remember is that we're 180 miles from Savannah, Charleston, and Wilmington. And so what Charlotte is trying to do is to get back, and North Carolina is trying to get back, to creating things, making things, shipping things. And if we can get that type of import-export type mindset, we've just got a tremendous platform to build what I call the next generation economy. We certainly are known for, obviously, healthcare and Carolina's Medical Center being our largest employer, followed by our big banks with Wells Fargo and Bank of America. And we're also the world's largest, or North America's largest energy company now with Duke and Progress, and they've just bought Piedmont Natural Gas. So there's a lot of opportunity to build on that, but it's small business enterprises that come in and around things like the intermodal facility I think will be powerful. Another part that I've been mentioning, as you leave uptown on the new light rail that will go to UNCC and stop at the Student Union, there is we've got the opportunity just off North Graham and North Tryon Street to put together something we call the Applied Innovation Corridor, which is Charlotte trying to be very intentional about building a cluster of entrepreneurial activity and try to reach out for that risk-taking, high-risk, high-growth type company environment where we know that we're losing some ground to cities like Austin, Raleigh, Nashville. That's where risk-takers tend to think to bring a company, and Charlotte tends to be a little more conservative on that, and I'd like to see us sort of open the gates to try to embrace that.
Well, we're on with Charlotte mayoral candidate Edwin Peacock, and before we turn our attention to golf and other things, or maybe even more talk about candy, which I enjoy, what is the role of Charlotte's mayor? I went to college with former Mayor Fox, and when he and I got together a few times late in his term, it was the first time I had a sense for what the role of Charlotte's mayor is as sort of peacekeeper and intermediary, and you've got city council and school committees and all the stuff that you have to manage. How do you see the role of Charlotte's mayor and really how you help to shape the view of Charlotte to the rest of the state?
Sure. Well, Mayor Fox is a friend, and he was a great great mayor in our city. He was here just a few days ago with an important ribbon cutting about a rail line that we'll be putting in our new Amtrak here in Charlotte. But Mayor Fox knows, and all of our great mayors know, that the mayor is the ambassador of the city and the government. And he or she's role is to be the spokesman for Charlotte. The statutes only allow the mayor to break a tie on the city council. They allow the mayor something unique in North Carolina. They do have the veto power. So there's a balancing element to shaping some of the policy discussions on council, but the council is the power. We have 11 city council representatives, 7 of which are district and 4 are at large. They're on the ballot as well. But again, the mayor's role is to be the spokesman for the city, to speak to the issues of what the core functions are of our city government, which are what I refer to as hardware, and that is police, roads, fire, trash, the airport, and we do land use planning as well too. Now, you mentioned schools. The mayor doesn't really have a formal role in schools, but I and other mayors agree that as we grow and as we continue to build, the mayor can and really should have a more dynamic partnership with our school system, especially at the time where we are right now. We've got a lot of discussions about student reassignment, which tends to bring up anxiety within parents. But I believe that the mayor, and I believe everybody knows that schools belong to everyone and that our strongest neighborhoods have our strongest schools. And so what I hope to do is to be a more dynamic partner with CMS and also with our great universities in Central Piedmont, just to help showcase Charlotte as a center for excellence in education. We've got teachers and students that are really getting beaten up by some of the new things that have been happening within the school system, things about teacher pay. People have a lot of angst over. We're in constant competition with South Carolina for jobs, and they've also done a very good job in sort of building up the reputation that they have better schools than us, and many would argue that. But you've got to have a mayor that's going to continue to fight for that and bring people to come to Charlotte.
All right, so here's the real question. If you get elected mayor and you go out and play golf with your buddies, how long a putt do they start giving you now?
Oh, man, I don't think it's going to go beyond 7 feet where they would give me anything, maybe even shorter. Yeah, guys, my golf history is – what's that?
I said, do they give you any putts now?
No, not really, and I definitely wouldn't as mayor, that's for sure. I did have a golfer yesterday who approached me, and usually you'll have citizens – joke around with you and say, well, I want this, or I've got this complaint. This young kid was quite direct. He said, if you get elected mayor, will you bring me on the 2017 when the PGA championship comes here? And he sort of woke me up to the fact that as mayor I will be at that PGA championship, and I will right. I will be playing in that, and that was really exciting to think about that.
Well, I mean, that's another world-class event being brought to Charlotte. And, and you know, your face, should you win this election, will be all over that event. Are you ready for the pressure of being the golfing mayor during the PGA Championship?
I just know that I can beat McCrory, and I hope he's listening, because he's, of course, played in the Quail Tournament
right.
many times. I've never played in a situation where you've actually got a gallery. I think it's very dangerous, of course, when an amateur golfer like myself, I'm a 16-15 handicap. I don't play enough. I'm a good athlete, and I learned to play golf when I was around 11 or 12, and my parents joined a club when I was 15. So, as they said, once I got the keys to a car and I smelled gasoline and perfume, I was gone. And so my golf game really didn't pick up until I got to the University of Georgia and just began playing with friends after that. So, again, the thought of playing in front of a gallery is sort of a dangerous type scenario, but what it will do is it'll help me obviously get my game shaped and focused, and you know, obviously you want to be able to play well when you're playing in a pro-am. So
yeah, I don't know how you'll find time to do that between your commitment to F3 and other fitness activities. I mean, you say you're a pretty good athlete. I think, you know, you're also a risk taker. You're willing to take on skateboarding and snowboarding and skiing and golf. I mean, does that play into your politics at all?
A little bit. I think one of the things I'm not afraid to do, and I don't care if the idea is Democratic or Republican, I think good ideas need to come to the surface. They need to, you can't keep doing what you're doing and expect to get different results. One area that I've mentioned as it relates to what could the mayor do on the role of education, though we don't have a formal role, I want to do a government roadshow. I want to get government out of 600 East 4th Street in Uptown Charlotte, and we have about 45 meetings a year. And I'd like for us to go to all 7 districts of the city, just 7 meetings at a minimum, and go to our schools and host the meeting there. And we host a meeting on the 4th Monday of every month, which is called the workshop, which is generally a chance for us to flush out some early ideas on policies. But we also do something called a citizens forum. I'd like to recognize the students in that school. Maybe it's a Girl Scout troop. Maybe it's a Boy Scout troop. Maybe it's some students there that have made some exceptional strides in reading or other things. I want to recognize them. That's something that the mayor also does. It's very ceremonial, and believe me, there's a lot of power in the mayor recognizing the individuals, and it's very effective, and I would just like to see us come to these areas of Charlotte where you don't feel like you have to drive in to meet your government. Your government comes to meet you. That's out-of-the-box thinking. It's been done in some other cities, particularly smaller cities, but I think the bigger we grow, the more the mayor and the city council need to reach out and be a part of that. And let me also mention that we need to include our school board members with that as well, too. I'd certainly want those on the school board to be present if they chose or wanted to be, just because, again, we're all in it together, and we're all elected officials. There's really no difference between any of us, frankly.
Well, and you're right. These ideas have been executed in smaller cities, but they're probably more necessary in a city as sprawling as Charlotte. I mean, I, we're talking about school systems, but I've always been an advocate for a greater districting of Charlotte's school system. It's just so huge. If you look in other places, there's, you know, and so being able to get the government out into the neighborhoods, brilliant idea. I mean, I know you're saying it wasn't yours, but to bring it here, it would be.
Yeah. Well, it's just willingness to try some new ideas. I don't even really consider that to be risky. I was at an elementary school on Wednesday doing an interview with two student reporters, Mary Oaks Elementary. Beautiful school there in East Charlotte, a challenged corridor, as we've identified in the city. But, you know, one of the things that's also happened here in the last few years, our state is now ranking our schools F through A. And this was a school, I believe, was either a D or an F. And the school was lovely, and the children were lovely. They're not D's. They're not F's. but their scores and some of the performance, they're being ranked as such. And again, as mayor, you want to shine a light on the areas that are needing attention. And if we can move that school to become a C or a B or certainly an A, and just by being there, look at the power of what could change by being much more intentional. And that's where I say government's just got to get outside of its four walls of 600 East 4th Street and off Channel 16 in the same view that you see there. If you're flipping channels and you see that, I just think the mayor needs to be out and about. By the way, the school board goes and does meetings in schools. So we would rent the facility from them, the city would, and it's not a terribly difficult thing to pull off. And quite frankly, my fellow colleagues on city council want to get outside of that, what we call the bubble.
So. Well, Edwin, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to encourage people to get out and vote. If you haven't done it, you can't complain about it if you're not part of the system. So get out and be part of it, and good luck next week.
You got it. And your listeners should know that early voting is open today. It's the last day. Your regional libraries, 10 to 1 p.m. Please get out and early vote. It's never been easier. 8 out of 10 registered voters in Charlotte won't vote in a local election. That is absolutely a recipe for disaster if democracy doesn't have more people pushed into it. So thank you guys for the time. Look forward to seeing you on another show. Look forward to being your mayor and ambassador for great golf in Charlotte.
Thanks, Edwin.
All right, guys.